Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have Marie Jones. The book she wrote with Larry Flaxman, this book, is from the future, from New Page Books, which, of course, there's a lot of books about the paranormal and the frontiers of science. I was talking about this pivotal act. 1970s, I get into a fight with the manager of the radio station I was working at, and he says, you know what, why don't you just leave? And my, now understand, in broadcasting, I don't think anybody has spent time in radio without being fired at least once, and more than once. Even the most famous people, Howard Stern, will tell you to this day that although he's making, what, $200 to $400 million a year or some amazing amount of money, early on in his career, you know, he tried to do something that was different, and guess what? He got fired for it. Or maybe he had a bad attitude. I worked at another radio station in the Deep South where everything was going okay until, this is the Deep South, in the late 60s. And they give me a spot to read about a meeting involving the KKK.
Oh, no.
So I told the station manager after this, you know, I'd rather not do that. I'd rather not read ads from that again. And he said, fine. Goodbye.
Huh.
Goodbye and good luck. Pivotal events.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you want to pick up the questions?
I was really very, very impressed with the amount of science that you and Larry were able to not only address and cover in the book, but put it in such a way that I think the average reader will be able to understand it. And it was very fascinating for me to see the progression of thinking all the way through from the 1880s, 1890s to the present. One of the things that's always fascinated me are, as we were discussing earlier, is the time paradoxes and how... And I love the way that you guys broke that down to show, even though a couple, three of them are really similar.
It's all the same.
they all kind of are talking about the same thing, which is the irrevocable changing of the past. But my question is, with the whole idea of membrane theory and the quantum universe and the multiverse, if you will, where are we going in terms of scientific understanding with the whole aspect of dimensions and the whole multiverse, context, if you will?
I think that is probably the primary directive behind, certainly any research into time travel. Because of those paradoxes, because of the light speed limitations within the known laws of our universe, obviously the next thing to look at would be, well, how do you get around all that? The pet theory, of course, is the idea of the multiverse or parallel universes. That if in this particular universe the laws of physics do not allow for this, that, and the other thing, that doesn't mean they don't in parallel universe B, C, D, E, F, all, ad infinitum. In non-time travel research, it is still probably, again, one of the biggest areas of theoretical physics because we want to understand so much about what's going on out in the deeper parts of the universe. We want to know, is the black hole at the middle of our Milky Way? If so, does it lead anywhere? We want to know if there are other black holes. We want to know if there's any proof that this universe lies smack alongside three or four others. So I think it's just really all about wanting to know, just like with UFO research, the foundation of UFO research is really we want to know if we're alone or not. And I think with all of this theoretical physics and the theories of parallel universes, multiverse, alternate dimensions, we want to know if our universe is alone or not. So I think they really parallel each other.
And as you do a breakdown, which I found very fascinating, which was the Max Tegmark kind of multiverse theory and the way that he broke it into four different levels. My favorite chapter, I must say, was chapter 7. And by the way, I want to kind of reiterate, I love the way that you titled all your chapters after song names. I thought that was quite clever. But Time Is On My Side, very good song by Keith Richards and Mick Jagger, has quite a number of very interesting characters in there and some recent kind of controversies involving potential time travelers. Would you want to possibly talk about some of these?
Sure.
There's some good ones.
Yeah, this is our time travel conspiracy conspiracy chapter. And we were really excited that we were able to do this. And I think one of the things that make Larry and I fortunate as writers is that, again, we didn't want to write a book that was pure science, that bored the people out to tears because, or that they didn't understand, because we wouldn't have understood it. We wanted to be able to really look at time and time travel in every aspect we could. And what was really fun is to find out that there are, because I was aware of a lot of this already, but not to the extent, that there are so many different urban legends and urban myths and individuals who have claimed to be time travelers. And one of the most famous ones was the Charlie Chaplin film, The Circus, which was shot in 1928. It was a silent film. And I guess there was, I don't know who noticed it, but somebody noticed an old woman in one of the shots. And she seemed to be holding up a device to her ear. She's just walking by, and there's a picture of it in the book. It's a very famous picture all over the internet. And so, obviously, because, you know, Occam's razor, the most simplest explanation, she's a time traveler. I mean, honestly, I don't know where that came from. But apparently, a lot of people believe that she was holding a cell phone. And, well, cell phones weren't invented in 1928, were they? So you have this huge, huge urban legend that was created around this. And, of course, it later, people started saying, well, you know what, there were hearing aid devices at the time that easily looked like that's what she could have been holding. And there are other pictures that are famous. There's one from a 1948 opening of the South Forks Bridge in British Columbia where a guy is shown in a picture, totally dressed as if he were modern, like from today, with, you know, modern sunglasses, T-shirt. And he's standing amidst all these other people that are straight out of the 1940s, and oh my God, he must have been a time traveler. And of course, somebody came along and said, no, we found evidence that there were sunglasses like this in the 1940s and clothing like this. Didn't get a lot of those. But the most fascinating to us was John Teeter. He made a number of predictions and on the internet, most of which have nowhere near come true. We talked to Art Bell from Coast to Coast for a couple of times, did radio interviews. And, oh, he claimed also to have built a time machine. A gentleman who showed up on the internet in early 2001 had a website and just started posting that he was a time traveler from the year 2036, that he was on his way home after retrieving an archaic IBM 5100 computer system from 1975 that he was going to take back home to the future with him. He claimed he had a time machine that was a stationary mass temporal displacement unit that he kept in the back of a 1967 Chevy Corvette convertible. Oh my gosh, and he made all kinds of prophecies about World War III and this, that, and the other thing that none of which came true. And he talked to Art Bell, did some coast-to-coast shows. A lot of people engaged in online conversations with him. And then he just sort of vanished. And there have been a number of people who have tried to pin down exactly who he was. Nobody knows for sure yet. Just goes to show you, though, how you can have an individual come forth and make any kind of claims they want to. And if they sound scientific enough, it just goes viral. I mean, that's one of the problems with the internet. But the most current and I think the most fascinating is, and I say current.
Oh, boy. I know where you're going with this, Mr. Bisaggio.
Okay. So, yeah, one of the most current time travel conspiracies that we wrote about actually linked to a past event, the Philadelphia experiment, which I think everybody knows about unless you've been living under a rock in the 1940s, this alleged experiment occurred with the USS Eldridge, whereby it was rendered invisible, and it's just gone on to urban legend history, although it's never been proven. But anyway, so out of this came what's called the Montauk Project. And there are several individuals now today in the present who are coming forward and have been coming forward for a number of years saying that they were involved with this time travel research that was going on at the Montauk location in New York.
Okay, here we go with the Philadelphia experiment, I think, is what we're talking about. And let's talk about it more in a moment. Let's just say that the Philadelphia experiment has formed the basis of several science fiction movies. One, as a matter of fact, that was presented, well, a few weeks ago on the Sci-Fi Channel, not a terribly good one. With Gene and Chris, we have Marie Jones. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
My name is Leslie, and I've had depression since I was a child. After being on Prozac for 20 years, I got onto the One World Way, and my need for Prozac was reduced by 50% within a few months. Now, after less than 1 year, I am completely off of Prozac. I learned that mercury is a toxin that causes brain damage and depression. By taking One World Way, I know that I've detoxified my brain of mercury and excess glutamate, and I'm now functioning with this dramatic improvement in my mood.
The power to change your life lies, in part, in the power you have to change your body's chemistry. Through diet and supplementation, you have the power to change your body's chemistry to support dramatic improvements in health and happiness. Nature has been, and always will be, mankind's first and only pharmacy to choose from. Change your chemistry and change your life with One World Way. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Alex Jones here with a great way to beat the blackouts, get off the grid, and generate your own supply of electrical power. Folks, with what's been going on in this country, I don't have to tell you about the power grid and just how vulnerable it is. That's in the mainstream news every day. Millions of people have lost their power in the last few weeks because of dangerous storms and killer heat that's pushing the grid beyond its capacity. I've always said that every family needs to be ready for blackouts. And if you don't have a backup system in place, I've got a great opportunity for you. Right now, our good friends at Solutions from Science are offering huge savings on their best-selling Power Hub unit. In fact, I think it's the best deal I've ever seen them make. It's literally thousands of dollars in savings. Remember, these backup systems don't need gas because they're solar-powered. That means there's no dangerous fumes and no noise. InfoWars listeners can get all the details at beattheblackouts.com. That's beattheblackouts.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Marie Jones joining Gene and Chris. She's co-author of the book. This book is from the future. We're talking about Montauk, and that always relates to the Philadelphia Experiment. The stuff of legend, the stuff of science fiction.
Right.
And Carlos Allende.
Yes.
All these names, Blalock. But what's really cool, though, are these people. There's a number of gentlemen, Andy Perro, John Burich, Andrew Bishago, and a number of others who are coming forward or have been coming forward using events that they speak at, radio, the Internet, YouTube videos, where they're talking about time travel research that occurred back in the 70s under the supervision of DARPA. Got to bring the government in there, you know, the conspiracy. And DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, for anybody who wondered what DARPA stood for. Well, apparently, some of these gentlemen, as children, were brought into this project and trained and utilized in time travel experiments. And they used what's called a time travel chair. It involved going through a wormhole. We've talked about those before. And there's all kinds of science that's been discussed in terms of how this chair operated. It sort of dropped into a wormhole that took these child chrononauts, as they were called, into the past or the future to whatever, retrieve information, whatever the goal of the particular experiment was. One gentleman, Andy Perro, was sent back to World War II, and there are different projects that have been involved, a number of them, that have come out of this Montauk chair myth, I guess. I mean, I don't want to say it actually happened. I also don't want to say it didn't, because I don't know. But
I'll tell you one thing, of course, that bothers me is the fact that we have all these characters who, over the years, turned up on Art Bell's radio show. We have someone who claims to have been involved in time travel. As a matter of fact, one person came on there and claimed it was Jim Morrison from The Doors, who died at the age of 27, only he faked his death.
Right.
So we have people who can get on the radio, which I guess is cool.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean they have the truth in their hands.
Exactly. One individual, and I called him John by mistake, is Dan Burrish. Now, he claimed that he worked for a very ultra-top secret program that was out at Area 51, the notorious Area 51, Groom Lake top secret facility in Nevada. And his project was called Project Looking Glass, and it involved stargates, man-made devices. They acted sort of as portals to take you into another timeline or dimension. And what I find so fascinating about that is, you know, we've got this TV show that's been on forever, Stargate, and again, the links between fact and fiction, and where does the line blur from one end to the other?
Now, to be precise, the movie Stargate from the 1990s, which spawned several TV series, three of them, as a matter of fact, it talked about this large object that's recovered, which supposedly instantaneously transports you through some sort of wormhole to another place in the universe, another galaxy, another star system, not so much another time, but another place.
Right, right. Now, Burrish's claims that are that these stargates are rings. They're like man-made devices, rings, portals, that are found naturally in some places, but there are man-made ones as well where people can not only go sort of cut through space, but also time.
Supposedly, there's one right up the road from me in Sedona.
I was just going to say, Sedona. Now, that one is supposed to be natural.
Oh,
people always, I've not been there yet. I can't believe it. But everybody I know who's been there. Now, I don't know. How do you feel? Have you been there and felt like you were in another reality or just felt nothing?
Well, that's the people that live in Sedona kind of make you feel that way. The place itself, no. There are very unusual energetic properties all over in the Red Rock, Mogollon Rim region. But something, you know, as exotic as, you know, an actual wormhole or time portal, I seriously doubt that. But you never know. Like you said, you can't factor everything out, and you can't factor anything in, really.
And the thing is that, you know, I love a good conspiracy. I do believe where there's smoke, there's often fire. Not always, but often. And so what you have to do is you have to be really discerning here. Well, these people really are very passionate, very detailed when they describe what happened to them and what they went through, almost as if it's been programmed. I mean, I don't remember what I had for dinner yesterday. But when these people talk, they just... they're so full of times and dates and statistics, and this is what so-and-so was wearing, and we were here. I mean, the description is just mind-boggling. I talked about this with a couple of other people saying, Bishago, just the detail of his descriptions of what happened on these chrononaut time travel experiments is mind-boggling. But that still doesn't necessarily mean that what happened to him actually happened.
I guess it's possible he took notes.
Yeah.
You know, he could have written this down in his personal diary, but you don't wonder that sometimes having too much detail can, in and of itself, be a reason to distrust the person.
Isn't that strange? When people tell you too much, you distrust it. When they don't tell you enough, where's that fine line? But again, I think we all know that the military, the government, whatever you want to call it, them, whatever's going on scientifically in the academic, the halls of academia, you got to figure that there are research projects going out under the radar that are maybe 20, 25 years ahead. It just seems to be that way, and that's fine. So this could be happening. It also could just be complete fabrication. And I just think that a secret that big.
Yeah, I agree. And this latest round of claims by this Laura Eisenhower and Visaggio about being trained to go to Mars. And they went with a group of others, including Barack Obama, Barry Satora.
Yeah.
And
so I wonder how his BlackBerry would work on Mars.
Yeah.
What was really strange to me about the whole thing is they, they claim that Ed Dames of Coast to Coast fame, who has made probably more predictions that haven't come true on Art Bell than anybody else. Ed Dames supposedly was the one that trained them, and when he found out that he had been, you know, fingered as the trainer, he totally denied it and said, "I don't know what these people are talking about." So. It's, I don't know. It gets very weird.
You know, somebody told me something that made a lot of sense that you know, it just sounds more like misinformation or disinformation, I mean, to sort of cover up what might really be going on. And you've got these people coming forward that are just making these outlandish claims. So what happens is the public will automatically shut down and say they're all full of crap. None of it's true. Yet there could be seeds of truth that are being ignored because we're focused on the more outlandish claims. And that's how it works, I guess.
Well, it's a conspiracy theory. We're trying to maybe resurrect these claims. It's not just people who run around wanting to have their 15 minutes of fame. Especially today, we have reality shows where we have people make their lives into something that should be important. I mean, I don't know about you. I guess there are people out there who want to watch Storage Wars or The Real Housewives of Name Your City and make these people who supposedly are normal people, sure, they're probably just would-be actors or would-be personalities, and they're looking for a way to break into show business, and someone says, hey, why don't you do a reality show? Because a reality show, of course, is...
is real.
is not reality. We have Marie Jones looking at the frontiers of reality with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we've all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food cost. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Let's keep preparedness simple. Do you need stuff for disasters? Of course you do. For over 15 years, DisasterStuff.com has, well, stuff for disasters. See? Easy to remember. DisasterStuff.com. Want free shipping on a new Berkey water filter? DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. Lots of folks want an EMP Faraday bag to protect sensitive electronics during a solar or nuclear event. Now for a limited time, all survival gear purchases over $75 include a free 8x8-inch EMP Faraday bag. Just enter promo code EMPBAG when you check out at DisasterStuff.com. We're also a Country Living Grain Mill authorized dealer. Plus, we offer freeze-dried foods by Alpine Air and Wise Foods. We also carry emergency kits, survival seeds, and much more. Preparedness should be simple, and it is. Just remember, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there, I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple, the affordable part. You can start with 60-second ads on GCN for as low as $15. Yes, $15. That would make GCN the most affordable national advertising, period. And that brings us to the reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Millions of potential customers for only $15 per ad. And customer service that can't be beat. Check out our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email. advertise@GCNlive.com.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
We explore the frontiers of reality this week on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. We're talking to Marie Jones. She, with Larry Flaxman, wrote this book. This book is from the future, but it was written in the past, I guess.
It was.
Right. Now, the other question, of course, we have here is, according to Einstein, we can't break the speed of light. It is, because of the theory of relativity, that's the barrier. We can't get through it. We create science fiction gimmicks like warp drive to do it. In the real world, science has not yet proven that the theory of relativity is wrong. We had almost, we thought, evidence that time travel or warp travel or something could take place and it didn't come to pass.
Right.
So how does science reconcile Einstein with warp drive or anything like that?
You know, Einstein did not know everything. I hate to say that because
he was
totally brilliant. But, you know, even before he died, he was absolutely certain that non-locality or entanglement, the idea that particles that come in contact with each other can communicate instantaneously over a vast expanse of space, he did not believe that. And it was proven after his death. John Bell and Alan Aspect and a number of other experiments proved Einstein to be wrong on that. I think that Einstein, and I know that I've read interviews and books about him where he did claim that what he was laying down as law or fact would one day be overturned. And it's just a matter of, these are the known laws of physics, the known laws of nature of our universe now. That doesn't mean they're going to be a year from now. I mean, I think that we're constantly uncovering new knowledge and information. And the further we reach out into the universe, there was an experiment done, and I don't have the details. I think it might be in the book. I know Larry and I wrote about it before, where these particular researchers showed that at the vast distances in our universe, the laws of physics may not apply. They may be different within our own universe. So why then would we suggest that what Einstein came up with is never going to be overturned? I mean, we don't even know at the vast furthest reaches of our own universe how light may operate, how these laws of physics may operate. It's always going to be overturned. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of looking deeper, looking further out. There's going to be a particle that somebody discovers that can move faster than light. Who knows? I just, again, I always believe that everything that we know as fact will one day be overturned. I mean, come on, you know, you got to think about how a long time ago they thought the Earth was flat, and that was fact. We once believed that the Earth was flat. We once believed that the Earth was the center of the solar system. These were actual facts. And, of course, somebody would come along and say, I've got some observations to the contrary. And the next thing you knew, there was new scientific laws, new facts being laid down. So I think
Not always easily either. Sometimes that went down with great difficulty. Someone from the U.S. Patent Office suggested in the late 1890s or somewhere around that time that most of everything that could be invented had been invented.
Right.
Of course, if we went back through time and handed this guy an iPhone, he might change his tune.
Hey, he may have had one. Come on. He was just hiding it. He didn't want everybody to know. But I certainly think that science catches up to itself. You know, what we consider fact today could just completely be overturned 20, 30 years from now as we progress with technology and our ability to really see the structure of what we're made of, what the universe is made of. We're learning something new. And like I said before, it just seems like every day there's a new research story that comes forward and you feel like, oh, why didn't I include that in the book? And it's just amazing how knowledge is just coming at us so quickly.
One of my favorite stories in the book deals with two scientists at the Large Hadron Collider predicting that that the future may not want the collider to actually discover the God particle, the Higgs boson particle. And sure enough, they had this strange event which happened. You want to kind of quickly tell that story? That's pretty fascinating. I remember when that happened.
Oh yeah, there was a bird that landed or flew into, now I'm trying to remember, but there was a bird that apparently sabotaged some of the computer system, and it just shut it down for a while. And it was just a simple act of nature, and these two gentlemen just really felt like the bird had been sent from the future to literally sabotage the entire operation as a warning. You know, don't do this. You're not supposed to, again, we were talking about before, you're not supposed to tamper with certain things, including time. Just one of our little time travel conspiracies that we threw in there that actually happened. There was another one that was actually a piece of baguette. Somebody was eating a sandwich, I guess, and a piece of baguette fell where it shouldn't have and bogged some of the experiments. And so there was the baguette conspiracy that the person was eating the sandwich and it broke. But this had happened because it was meant to stop all of the research that was going on at the LHC from ever happening, because we might find wormholes or black holes and then we'd all be sucked into a black hole and on and on and on. So just, but it is interesting because it goes back to the ethics and moral of whether we should be tampering with playing God, quote unquote, and trying to figure out how everything works. Because what do we usually do? Once we figure out how things work, we usually try to manipulate it and change it and work it ourselves.
Yeah, well, we have been sucked into a black hole. It's called Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Exactly. But we're not coming out the other end. The white hole.
I think we're being shot out.
The wormhole, but there's no exit point.
Are you trying to say that all the people who are elected to Congress, all the elected officials, are worms?
That's one way of putting it, Gene.
Yeah, that is. They could be time travelers from the future sent to mess up our present. You never know.
Well, they sure as heck did that. But you have to wonder, too, if there are time travelers, how would we even know? How would we really know unless someone came to you and say, okay, I am a time traveler. Of course, why believe them?
Right. And, I mean, people have done that, John Titor. And what do? We think they're nuts. And I'm not sure what would constitute proof. They would have to do something pretty outrageous in front of my eyes to make me believe that and I'm not sure what that would be. Show me the device. Let me try it out.
Take me on a trip in the TARDIS.
Give free TARDIS rides to skeptics and scientists. And, you know, still you'd have large segments of society that would say, well, it's the devil. It's, you know.
Well, they have to show some technology from the future. So if they came from 500 years hence, show me some technology that indicates to me that you have something, some information, some knowledge, some capability that we do not understand.
Right. And now there's another paradox, sort of future-related paradox about that, just as there are the past-related, and that is that if you have people come from the future and give us knowledge and information and this and that and the other thing, basically you're screwing up our ability in the present to achieve those things. You're sort of making us obsolete, because if we're getting everything from the future, what's the point of living in the present?
You know, it reminds me of the scene in Star Trek, The Voyage Home, the one that Leonard Nimoy directed. There's a scene in this plant where Scotty and Dr. McCoy enter there, and of course they wanted to have something that could take humpback whales to the future.
Right.
It's one of the best Star Trek films. Kind of funny, kind of different for normal Star Trek. They went back through time, and what they do is they use warp drive to make the Enterprise leap around the sun and therefore go back through time. So they go back to the 20th century, the 1980s in San Francisco, in search for the humpback whale. What happened then?
Nuclear vessel.
Yes, a nuclear vessel. I'll tell you where you can find us. You can't find us in the 1980s anymore. You can find us on thepowercast.com or check us out on Twitter at thepowercast. That's the Powercast on Twitter. A nuclear vessel. I'll be back with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Powercast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy.
For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast, and we're talking about some of the funny lines in the movie Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home from the 1980s. This is where they go back to the past to basically get a humpback whale. So, of course, they need some way to contain water and the whales in this stolen Klingon spaceship. This is very involved, but I'm sure a lot of you have seen the movie. Okay, so Dr. McCoy and Scotty go to this plant, and they said, hey, you know what? Why can't we make transparent aluminum? And the plant manager says, what? And so Scotty goes to this computer, which is, by the way, the first generation Mac, and he picks up the mouse, and he says, computer, and then realize he has to type on the keyboard. And he shows them how to make transparent aluminum. And Dr. McCoy says, well, how do you know you're not changing the past by doing that? Mm-hmm. And his response is, I'm paraphrasing, well, how do you know he hadn't invented it already?
True. Because
the answer being that this is part of the future timeline, the change he made.
Yep, that's what you could say. Every single thing that happens, even going back and changing everything, that's part of the original plan. That's a way to get around that paradox.
You can never change the past because whatever you do to change the past is preordained.
Exactly. It's all meant to be. I like those three words. I think, okay, if I had to choose between which was more confusing, the science behind time travel or all of these philosophical elements with the paradoxes, I would definitely choose the philosophical elements. I mean, your mind really can get boggled thinking about how do you get around these loops of thought where one of the coolest, most recent books that I read was Stephen King's 11/22/63 about the JFK assassination, where, I don't know if you guys read it, but a man is sent back in time to stop the assassination, and he covers these paradoxes just brilliantly. The whole idea being, can you go back and fix the past without breaking the future? And gets into all the ideas of alternate timelines and what have you.
So we want to know, give us a spoiler. Did he succeed in preventing the death of JFK?
I can't give you a spoiler because the book is so involved. There's another scenario that goes on as a sort of a backstory. I would highly recommend people read it because if you really want to understand the ethical and moral problems behind time travel, if it's not all predetermined, then it's just a fantastic example of somebody working fact into fiction. But that's the thing. Now, if you say that everything is meant to be and everything is set in stone, you're bringing a religious element into everything. And a lot of people are not comfortable with that. So they'll just sort of shun that whole theory. But each paradox has its own problems. And again, sometimes the only way around them is to come up with theoretical things like the multiverse. Well, you could do that. You can't do that here, but you could do it there. That's like an all-purpose solution and excuse for whatever doesn't work here. Yeah, you could do it in that universe. Sure.
One of my favorite potential paradoxes involves the, you know, the now infamous date of December 21st, 2012. And I've wondered if possibly this could be when time travel is actually first made operational. And because that's the furthest back that time travel exists, wouldn't it be interesting if all of a sudden the secret DARPA project breaks the time barrier, if you will, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're flooded with time travelers coming back to the,
right.
the earliest place that they can go in the timeline, and then right. that might tie into the whole Mayan thing about transformation of humanity and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
You know, it's a cool sci-fi story.
We open that final portal, you know, who knows? It could very well be. That was the day in our past to the Mayans, that could have been the day the time travel device was created, and who knows? We're not going to know until that day or after, because I think a lot of people are going to be partying and won't remember what happened that day.
Yeah, I'm going to be down where the long calendar was actually first devised in between the Olmec and Mayan civilizations down in Shela.
Sounds awesome.
But one of the things that I find very intriguing about this whole idea is that whole concept of time travel only, you can only go back as far as the actual technology exists.
And the machines created, right.
Exactly. So it would be interesting to do a story based on that, some sort of fictional short story, let's say. And
so basically
have that
you can only go back as far as you have another time machine in the past to basically certify your arrival.
Right. Confusing, isn't it? It's like, why do we bother? Let's just be happy where we are in the present moment.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Did you ever think, though, Marie, that you would like to be able to go back and change something?
Before I wrote the book, yeah. But I got to tell you, writing the book and thinking about the paradoxes and, again, thinking about the whole butterfly effect and the fact that everything I do, everything anybody does, is like throwing a pebble in the pond and those ripples affect outward and influence the ripples of other people. I kind of stopped thinking about that. It made me realize that I could go back and I could change something that I think in my mind now was negative and end up with a present and a future that are far worse than the one I have now. I don't want to do that. So really, the more that I wrote the book and researched, and Larry and I talked about it too, the less inclined I would be to attempt to go back and change anything. I always say, I'd love to go back to when my son was really small and, you know, do that all over again because it goes by so fast. But you have to ask yourself another question. Are you saying you want to go back with the awareness that you have now? Or do you want to just go back with the awareness that you had then, which would mean you get to relive all the bad stuff as well as the good? Or do you want to just go back and observe?
Now, this is an interesting question I guess we haven't brought up yet. And I'll do it just for the sake of argument. Okay, so if you go back in time to where you previously existed in that timeline,
mm-hmm.
would you replace yourself? Would you meet yourself? Would you meet yourself and find that the entire universe could blow up? What happens if you already exist in that timeline?
Exactly.
What happens to your past self? I was thinking maybe what would happen is that your mind, which is a terrible thing to waste, as they tell me, your mind and your experiences would replace the mind and the experiences of yourself in the earlier time frame.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. Unless you are literally turning back the clock, like the way you would rewind a tape. I remember those videotapes, rewind something and it just go back to the beginning and then press play. Then you would just be reliving sort of on an observer level what happened. But if you're talking about, like you said, if you're literally physically going back, then, yeah, are you going to meet yourself as a kid? I think there was a movie about that, where a guy goes back and meets himself when he was a child, and but he's not able to change anything. I can't remember what the movie was.
In the reboot of Star Trek, they create an alternate timeline, and Spock travels back to the alternate timeline, and he meets his younger self.
Yeah, that would really screw things up. I mean,
I guess the way they dealt with it is that an alternate timeline has been created.
Right.
So the reality in which Spock Prime, as he's identified in the credits, or Leonard Nimoy, is presented, since it is an alternate timeline, therefore he can go back there and not change anything that was meant to be. Because it's already changed.
His own timeline stays the same, but he's going back in an alternate. And again, there's that idea that the multiverse, alternate dimensions, alternate universes, it's like the catch-all excuse for being able to do all the things that you wouldn't be able to do in your own timeline, in your own universe. And that's why it's such a wonderful device in fiction, because you can get away with it.
And we have to think here, when we look at things like the UFO mystery and we talk about time portals or portals from one reality to another, the common belief about UFOs is that they're spaceships.
Right. And they're coming from this point in time.
Coming from this point in time, but from elsewhere. They travel across the stars, whether it's wormholes or whether they took 100 years to get here or 1,000 years. You're coming from someplace else to here. But the other position is, of course, going from portal to portal, where they are in reality A, and they see what's going on in reality B, and they transport themselves to reality B, which may be why UFOs sometimes appear to wink in and wink out.
Right, there are interdimensional aspects to many sightings. Sure. And they very well could be from the future, especially if they're traveling through the methods that we're talking about using someday for time travel, wormholes and portals. And
if we're talking about portals, the other reality can be far in advance of ours. It doesn't mean it exists on a parallel time frame.
Right. They're just sort of popping into our timeline to take a look, stop for a soda or a beer, and then go back into their timeline. Yeah, absolutely.
They want classic Coke, not the new Coke. That's how it goes. Marie Jones joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old." My body has changed dramatically. I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.